In the beginning, there was nothing. Then there were comic books. Once you enter our world, there is no escape. Comic exposure begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast. Ooh, spooky season continues. It's me, Josh, and with me is my boxy-looking young man who fights vampires with a sawed-off hand. The one, the only.
What's in the box? Travis Ratz here.
All right. And we are joined again for this spooky season by Andrea. Andrea, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you.
Welcome back for another episode of Comic Exposure, where we dive deep into graphic novels and trades. And you're in luck. This is a comic book club episode where we continue our spooky season tradition. Travis is breaking out. Oh, I thought you were fluffing a blanket to put over yourself for true spooky
pillow
season.
My back.
Pillow for your old man back. Got it. All right.
It's scary how tight my back can get sitting around there. Spooky back.
Okay. So, on this episode, we are reading Bowling with Corpses and Other Strange Tales from Lands Unknown by the most wonderful Mike Mignola, with colors by the most amazing Dave Stewart. Just this is a team that I will always love. But before we get into this book, Travis, you had something you wanted to say, and I was like, no, let's record it. Talk to me. What do you
got? we were talking. We weren't talking. We were reminiscing of spooky seasons past. Yeah. And, you know, it's... we always enjoy a spooky season, but there are some spooky seasons that stand out to us as just like, wow, what a great run of books. You know, it's just not just one banger, but like multiple bangers. And we talked about specifically about Basket Full of Heads. Remember the Basket Full of Heads spooky season?
My favorite comic ever.
Yeah.
It's still my favorite comic. I love
it. The art's so good.
It's gorgeous. And
I really like the year we did Lake House too. Isn't
that the same year?
No.
Wasn't that the same year?
No.
No. I was in Japan when we did Basket Full.
House by the Lake?
No, that was the Horny Witch.
I think we did both.
The year before that.
Maybe that was 2 years ago. Maybe
it was 2 years ago.
Okay.
I loved that one.
Yeah, me too. There's a sequel to it that I want to read. And so I was thinking about like, oh man, like I wish someone, so it made me think of two things. Yeah. One, I had, I don't know if I mentioned this last pod, we mentioned it off there. I said I was watching The Fog, but I'd also watched Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah.
And it made me want like almost like an a la Basket Full of Heads. I want that 80s schlocky horror summer camp vibe comic. I'm sure they're out there. But like, I want a good one.
Yeah.
I want that same vibe. I want teens talking inappropriately. I want horniness. I want like 80s crop top tees for the boys.
I need a dialogue as choice as from Sleepaway Camp where he says like, eat shit and die, Dave. And he's like, eat shit and live, Craig, or whatever. And I'm like, that's fantastic. Like...
And then, yeah.
I mean, that would be worse.
That's exactly from it. And that line, that's the line that I remember from this. And you're like, and you could see the other kid's face being like, that's a good burn.
That's a really good burn. It's one of my favorite.
And then you watch him play baseball for 10 minutes in the middle of a horror movie, Josh.
Well, have you seen Twilight? I mean, there's an entire scene. Travis, have you seen Twilight?
Of course.
Okay, good. Good.
I've read them.
I'm glad it's just not me. Andrea, here's what I need you to do. I just, during October, you don't have to watch don't watch all of them. I mean, you might end up watching all of them, but I need you to watch the first Twilight. I need you to watch the first Twilight because it's so bad that it's good. And I don't say that about many things, but it is so the art direction and it feels like they... Have you seen like, I don't know if you guys are on the internet, like I'm on the internet, but have you seen like everybody do the art of the crop where like they show you a photo and then like, this is where we're going to crop. And that's not where they've cropped. So it feels like they filmed the movie and then they decided to zoom it in
Oh, God.
Or how they were shooting parts of it. Like the staging of where people
like
are.
Like everything in post, basically.
It's just, it's very, the color grading is ridiculous. The zoom in on everybody's face is very strange. And it's just so bad that it's good.
Okay. Have you not seen or read Twilight?
I have done neither. Neither. It came out when it was like, I was teaching high school drama and like.
And you should have, I don't know how you did not read it. Just to make some kid happy. You're a drama teacher. That's what you do.
I had a kid try, like, let me borrow a book and I tried reading it. And I was like, this is the worst.
No,
like,
I heard it.
It
made
it's
my really
brain
bad.
Hurt. It was so
bad. I've never read it.
I was like, I don't have this kind of time. I have two shows to do.
But have I watched all of them? Yes.
Of have
I marathon? Have I marathon them? Yes.
Literally, the only thing I know about Twilight is like the baseball scene, and like the baby is very weird looking.
The baby is, very
and then
weird
like,
looking.
And like the wolf like marries a baby or whatever. I don't know. Am I right?
Kind of, okay. A little, yeah. But it's not a baby. It's an imprint on the baby so that they can do it later, not then. That's weird.
I think
because the rest of now, it all seems totally normal.
I think what maybe you could do this October, since technically Twilight would be a spooky book. Do you have any nieces?
I have zero nieces, but I have a lot of friends with girl daughters.
Okay, like little girls, like baby, not like creepy baby girls, but like
not like creepy baby girls.
They're not,
but like that. Would
they're not girls. Like not like we're not like, oh, these baby girls. Anyways, are they adults already? Are the girls
like
past their teenage years? Are they approaching Twilight era? So what I'm saying is, I was gonna say, oh, this is a perfect opportunity for you, like live. Do something online with the reading of it, but I don't want that because I'm done with, like, I don't want to see someone else's experience, but make it more intimate, analog. Get the book and like your colored gel pens. I know you got some colored gel pens,
girl. You know I do.
Yeah, some silvers and golds or whatever it is, and all then take it. A nice hard copy version of it. Strip that cover off that bad boy. Do some art on the front of it, and then your notes and thoughts as you go through it. On there, and then when one of your teen girl friends, one of your nieces from your friends becomes of age, of Twilight age, you gift it to them. This is not a tweet for the universe. This is a special gift that you create now for one person.
I love this idea, even though it will be painful to read. I love the idea of like just being able to like barf out everything on the page that I'm thinking about this. What is an appropriate Twilight age?
11.
I don't know. 11. I think 11. It's a little much. Do you think so? I don't know. I just don't know.
I don't know how horny it is, and I don't want to like.
It doesn't get that horny until later. Here's what it is. It's a.
Well, if you got pens, you can.
Yeah,
it's whack out all the horny stuff.
It's essentially a book about not doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like it is until they finally do it. It's a very like until they get married. It's an LDS woman battling with
how horny she is.
Yes. I mean, that's Stephanie Myers is battling with how horny she is and how chaste she has to be. And so
it's not hornier than Inside Out 2.
Is Inside Out 2 horny?
Yeah. She's like, she's playing hockey and she's like got feelings. Right? I watched it last year.
Okay. No, I get it. I get what you're saying. Yes. Yeah, okay.
Why?
Yeah.
No. Why?
Yeah. That's a little horny girl hockey player.
That totally tracks.
I see what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Makes sense in my head. Weird. Yeah.
The sentence was strange.
It's a co-ed team. She's watching those boys sweat it up. Or girls.
I don't think it's co-ed. Isn't it all girls?
That's Inside Out 3.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Well,
AKA turned Inside Out. Okay. So
I don't know about that, but the Twilight book idea, I think, okay. Like, I think I have like a stack of books I'm reading, but I can definitely make this like a project for myself. And I will watch the movie, but I got to pick a horror movie for you to watch, Josh.
Read the book.
Leaf etchings in the pages. You know, we get some fall leaves. And like, Edward would like this.
And I can burn the edges like a scroll.
I like it. Very spooky.
All right, so, let's talk about a good book.
Okay.
So, right? Okay.
All right, for this episode, we read, like I said, Bowling with Corpses by Mike Mignola, Hellboy, Mr. Hellboy himself. He talks about how in the back of this, he has a quick little piece where he talks about how this book came about and how he retired from Hellboy, right? So he goes, some years back, I started telling people I was semi-retired. That was supposed to mean that every day I would just wake up and draw or paint whatever I wanted for fun. As a result, I spent most of my days running in circles, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. Lots of ideas, too many ideas, no structure. Eventually I said, the hell with this. I love drawing comics, so I'll just keep drawing comics. And here we are. So Hellboy is still happening, but he's not really doing Hellboy. But I love how weird Mike Mignola gets and how he takes in here. He talks about, I had this Italian folktale about this kid bowling with corpses. And I was like, I'm going to do that. Right. And so he takes all of these folktales and he shoves them in and he adapts them and does all these things. That's what the entire Hellboy run was. It's like, Hellboy's going to fight a monster. Let's find a weird Scandinavian folktale to shove him in the series with. So we get this smattering of short stories that take place in the far off lands or forgotten lands. What's it called? I said it already, but I don't.
It's remember. One of those two for sure.
Yeah. And so, Lands Unknown. Lands Unknown.
Oh, no, it's that one.
Yeah, Lands Unknown. That's the one. So he's telling these stories using this world and really fleshing out this world. And at the end, he talks about how, like, I'll probably come back to this and we'll probably do some more stories here and we'll probably hang out with these creepos a little more. So we get this smattering of short stories starting with, and this is, I just want to kind of start with the first one. I want to know, Andrea, I don't think you've ever read Hellboy. I don't think you have any.
No, but I love the films. I love the lore of Hellboy. I just haven't financially committed to reading Hellboy.
I ain't getting pretty cheap on Amazon these days, but.
Hello? We can mansplain Mike Mignola to you. I think Josh is
frozen. Perfect.
This is really great. Yeah. He's so clearly frozen. Like he's about to do it. Hold on. Let me get on here. All right. So while Josh is coming back on here, you haven't read any Hellboy comics then?
Haven't read the comics, but I love the films. I love how they bring all the Norse mythology and all these random.
Hey, I'm back. Guys, I'm back.
He's back.
I'm back.
So, I think this is interesting. I think this is kind of really interesting then coming in as Mignola is, I think it's like beer. It's like I had to learn why Mignola was good. Before I could be like, and then then I started seeing it. And then I was like, that's freaking brilliant on there. Yeah. And the thing with Mignola is throughout his career, you've seen La La Land, right? I'm going to play the, I'm going to play the Ryan Gosling role instead of Jazz. Yeah. I'm going to do Mike Mignola on there as he's gone through his career with Hellboy. Like he started off drawing like comic book superheroes. He wasn't really great at it. And so then he started Hellboy. But as his career went on, his big thing is like, I want to do more with less lines. So he just started removing more and more lines from his art. And so like Mignola is really like a study in shapes. And if you look at this book, if I gave this to one of my students, like this is art sucks on here. It's just a bunch of shapes. And you're like, but those shapes are like, you know what they are. Like he has like few lines and they know what they are. So one of the things that I always look for in Mignola book is I'm like it's like punk rock because you're like, I can do this. But then you play like, I can't do this.
You can't do this.
Like, the shapes are not good. I am no Iggy Pop. And Iggy Pop seems like anyone could be Iggy Pop.
But no.
Yeah. It's my Iggy
Superman.
Pop.
I love that. No,
so
I think that's great.
My question for you, Andrea, let's just start with the first story. Bowling with Corpses. Very first story. Your first read of Mignola. You've read this and then you go, okay, I have to read a book full of these short stories. You finish that first one. What are your thoughts? Are you like, yes? Or are you like, I don't know what's wrong with Travis and Josh. Why are we doing this?
I really genuinely had no clue. Like I almost forgot to read this one. I was like, oh, I've got another book. And I jumped into it. The Bowling for Corpses was seriously one of my favorite things of the whole book. I love that the character, the central character in that one, like this little skeleton guys, like it was just, it was so like charming and cute. And they all, I love the art. They look like almost like this, it sounds weird, but like almost like marionettes to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, like when they go to the land of make believe.
You know what I mean? Like the little puppets. And I really loved like the sweetness of it. And then it's like, but this backdrop is like, supposed to be like real creepy and spooky and you know what I mean, but I loved it. I thought the humor was so funny peppered throughout because I had no idea what to expect. It definitely like there was a lot in this book. I had like a Thrones moment where I'm like trying to keep track, like I started to keep track of people, which was a bad idea because I didn't realize they weren't all necessarily connected. And so that kind of threw me. I was like trying to touch down like a central character, whatever, throughout the whole thing. And if I kind of got rid of that idea in the beginning, then I think that would have been a better read for me. But I still really, I really enjoyed it. But like the Bowling for Corpses was a great first like hook. Like I loved it. It was so cute.
I agree with you. That one's probably one of the longer ones, so I feel like you get a lot from it. And then there's two stories in here that are more lore shaping than story, right? So there's the one about the gods, which is like, here's how the gods created this. And then there's a one at the end-ish that kind of like talks about all the parts of the land. And those are really, I just feel like that's that's Mignola riffing on like, ooh, I got so many things I want to tell you about this place. I'm just going to give you a short story where I name all the different parts.
He's like, look at all these cool places.
Yeah, I also like a world that's created from dragons.
Right?
Right?
It's a very, that like very first story.
Dragon blood rain?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That very first story does all the things that I want a Mignola story to do. It gives you just a weird, like a weird premise, a weird folktale-y premise, some good, like, dry humor and just some creepiness.
It's so funny.
Right? Some creepiness, some weird dry humor, and then just some imagery that's just bizarre. Like the guy with the candles on his head, right? Like that hat.
Yeah. Oh, the candles. That was so cool.
And you can't see his face. And then just the fact that it's this guy who's beating the crap out of people with a hand, right? Like is just.
Like there's just something so goofy. They like explode if he hits them. It's amazing.
Yes. It's just very, very good and very dumb. I had a good time with just the silliness of it. It's just goofy. Travis, after you read this first one, how in were you? Were you like, all right, I'm in. You got
actually,
your
wasn't the first one. I think
never
I think
ending
the first
story
one,
style.
He's like, wait, I started at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
I read the first short story.
Yeah, I liked when the doll showed up. No, that was last episode. So actually, the Bowling for Corpses was one of my least favorites. And after I read that first one, I was kind of like, oh, what are we in for? But I really liked this book a lot. And I want to start my kind of take on it from the genre that we're working with, because it is spooky season. So, spooky season to you, Josh.
Yes.
Spooky season to you, Andrew.
Spooky season to you.
And also with you.
And so this is a different kind of fall vibe spooky season. It's the Washington Irvin. It's the Nathaniel Hawthorne, Young Goodman Brown. And I feel like this genre, maybe it could be done. Like, what are you talking about? There's all this. But I don't feel like we get a lot of new types of stories told in this kind of... It is like a fable, right? But it's more than that because it's not Americana like Washington Irving, but it does feel modern in some ways, like the bowling aspect of Bowling for Corpses, right? That the humorous aspect to it. And that goes on, that humor in the modern sense of humor takes this kind of legends and folklore feel that's just cozy, you know. It's a cozy spook.
It's very fall.
Cozy spook.
It felt very fall.
It's autumnal.
Autumnal.
Yes, autumnal.
Good word. Good word.
He's also my favorite character from Narnia, Mr. Autumnal.
Oh, Mr.
The best, Mr. Autumnus.
Mr. Autumnus. Oh my goodness.
So what's
the story? I can't think of like. For me, it was, I think it was, oh, you know what it was? It was, I'm gonna get the title of it, I'm right there. It was the kind of haunted house one that is called, it starts off with, looks like there's like a beggar.
Yeah, the guy who's telling stories.
Is this the guy, and they go to the
pub? Justice Denied. Justice Denied. Yeah.
Justice Denied was a great one that got me. It wasn't, but that was where I was like, wow, I really like the guy's character at the end where he's like, wait, you're gonna pay me this? Was this, is this gold the gold you inherited from the guy that I saw being tortured last night for like his entire afterlife? No thanks. And then he was like, and then I asked the gods to forgive me this minor, you know, thing. I was trying to do good, but I somehow,
because she paid for his drink.
Yeah.
His dinner food. With yeah. that money. And he's yeah. like,
and that was just so touching at the end of it. He's like, oh, I did take dinner, but like, I hope they understand that like I was unaware at that point.
And like, well, like I hope my goodness that I've tried to do in this world, like washes that away essentially. Yeah. Like that was lovely. I really liked that one.
Yeah. And then it got really cosmic there for a while. And you know what? I actually, as they went on, I liked them more and more. The old soldier and the king, about the guys who are, this just like, I read this story. This is the one where the guy goes into the bar and the guys are like, hey, you want a drink? And he's like, yeah, I'll drink with you. He goes, it sounds like you have a story. And then he tells them a story about him buying someone a drink who ended up being like this, basically this gnome king of the underground, you know, on there. And it just made
that was hysterically funny when they went further underground, and he's like, they love to, those little people love to fight.
Yeah.
They're like, ah!
And then they like have these like, I just imagine it like, what is it, the Matrix 3, where they have like the weird orgy rave like in the cave. Yeah. And I'm like, that's exactly what I imagine when they're celebrating. Yeah,
exactly.
And everybody's partying,
just like slow mo jumping. Yeah.
Everybody's partying for the, except the queen. She's pissed about the whole thing.
He's wearing the crown.
Yeah. And he's like, I just woke up in the middle of the night, like nothing happened. And they're like, yeah, that story can't be true. Can we believe
it? But I just, it made me think of, because this is kind of out of time. You know, it's a bit, you know, it's written now. It feels a bit anachronistic in the sense of, it made me start thinking about like, wow, as like a species of people, the internet has really destroyed us, because these people are like, you got a story? You got a drink? Settle up. And you can just, you can make, tell like a fabricated lie, a beautiful fabricated lie about going down the ground. People are like, this is my Netflix for the night. And just like the sense of, how excited someone would be to hear this story, and how you could just, you know, exaggerate and hyperbolize everything, or just make something completely up. And it's just a sense of like, you got a story, then we got you a seat and a drink. And I just kind of, again, it felt very cozy and just very, a lot of heart in these stories. But it was, nothing was taken too seriously. And, but at the same time, I feel like you could study these things and add levels of meaning to them if you read these stories over and over again. And you're like, no, actually, this is like a modern parable of, you know?
Right.
I think every story had something interesting to it, or a real great panel, and or just the art was great, or there was an image that was just spooky or cool, or I mean, there was even the ones where they were kind of like, we're gonna do the you know, flight over California, you know, the Disneyland fly over California of all of the lands, right? That's what it felt like as in that story. Even that was like,
I've never done that ride.
Well, that's what this was, that the one where they're like, and in this place there's this, that's what that felt like, was like, even that story, although not a story, I was like, oh, okay, I want to go spend time in that place, that looks interesting. I know. This little piece, because
when he wrote about it, it was like his little like blurb at the end of how he came, how this whole thing came to be, was so enthusiastic, you know what I mean? Like, he was just like, and then I came up with all these lands, and I just want to do all these things, and so it's like he it's like he had to end it, so he had to cram all the other lands that he like dreamed up,
yeah,
you know, in this story. In the end, so yeah. I thought that was a really cool way to present that.
There's a good documentary, and like good might not be the right word, but it's a there's a documentary on Mike Magilla called Drawing Monsters that like gives you like a really good insight into like his brain and why, like his thought process and all this stuff and how he is. I used to draw a lot as a kid, right? And I would draw superheroes and all those things. But this is a kid who is like, I drew monsters. And like, he turned that, the fact that he turned that into his entire career and has been successful drawing monsters is just wonderful. And he loves it. You can tell by every page of this that he just loves the creative piece and action of this process.
And I don't think it's any coincidence that him and Guillermo del Toro were the ones to partner up for Hellboy, because I went to Guillermo del Toro's, like, they had a huge exhibit of his stuff at LACMA after a bunch of his movies came out, and they seem like they're like little twins, and like Mingle is like the comic version and then Guillermo del Toro is like the cinematic version, because they both have the same like kind of like childish enthusiasm about monsters and like creating these worlds and stuff. So I think they're just like a perfect match.
And they made two other Hellboy movies without Guillermo del Toro, and they are not good.
And not good.
They're the fourth one, remember we watched the fourth one, Travis? Do you remember how bad it was?
You mean the one that was out last year?
The train one?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was bad.
I didn't hate it.
Oh, God. It was bad.
I didn't make it through.
It could have been so much better.
Well, I liked it because you cut the budget down, and then it's just like, okay, let's make, like, you know, we got a iPhone 4 or a 4K. You know, let's shoot this bad boy.
Let's shoot it. Yeah. I don't know what to say about this thing, but I love short stories. Like I'm a big short story fan. And so I think when you get to kind of, this feels like the right thing to do at Halloween is spooky short stories. Cause it feels very campfire-y, right? It feels very much like we're sitting around the campfire. I mean, Travis, you talked about it. You go to the bar, you got a beer, have a seat.
Let me throw my magic powder and are you afraid of
the dark? Look, I was in a band called the Midnight Society, right? Like
okay, we're learning a lot about Josh. We learned off air
kind of time, you can't throw that out
that Josh there was a 911 operator, and now we're learning that
he had a band called the Midnight Society. Are you afraid of the dark? I have 400 questions for you, sir.
Well, the band I was in, we changed our name to the Midnight Society. So like, that's like, we started sounding a little different. And when we moved away from pop punk, we changed our name to the Midnight Society. So
can I ask a follow-up question?
Yeah.
What you said you changed sound from pop punk into it. What did you change it into? You were like, we're darker now. We're going
was
Midnight
it gothy
Society.
Or?
No, I know it was a little, I mean, it was a little more like,
straight edge emo,
a little more post-hardcore-y. Hardcore punk. I don't want to say emo because it's not like we weren't My Chemical
Romance.
It's
like Romance, get up kids.
No, a little more. There was some screaming every once, some yelling every once in a while. Mm-hmm. A little more syncopated math stuff. So like a little more.
Less a little more midnight. A little more midnight is what you're
a
saying.
A little midnight. I don't know how else to put it except a little more midnight. and then I left that band and they put out a couple things after I left. So Midnight Society stuck around for a little bit. But
oh my gosh.
Anyways.
That's so cool.
There's just something extra fall about short stories, like short spooky stories. There's something autumn about it. I can't explain it except the fact
it's
like,
called Dave Stewart on colors.
There's just something about like being, it just reminds me of campfires and telling stories as a kid and trying to scare your friends and all those things. And there's just something great about the short story piece.
Abandoned houses, taverns, castles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. These are the things that have populated our imaginations for centuries, that, you know, they have been tent poles in environments and settings. And it's just so great to kind of read them when they're stripped down, not only in the kind of bare bones of his storytelling, but in the bare bones of his art. There's really nothing distracting, which draws your attention to the energy of fables and legends in this book. Mm-hmm. Because if these stories were done, but it was much more of a detailed art form, I would not have liked this book even half what I like.
I think it would have been too much. Like you get like too much sweet. It's like, oh, it would be like,
right. This is acoustic Dylan, you know, it's just like you can hear everything on here. Yeah. And so if it's going to be folk, you can't plug it in. And so like, that's what this feels like. It doesn't feel like it's trying to be more than anything it is. And simplicity of his art style and the kind of solidness of the coloring mixed with these simple short stories that don't go into complexity of character. None of these characters, except for maybe our female vampire, Anna.
She was definitely the most.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she gets like two stories, right? I think that was kind of, you know, well, it's like one continuing story, but you get a much longer time with her. And I thought that I really enjoyed that one. You know, I thought it was a really cool short story.
Back in like the days where you picked like a favorite panel on this podcast back in the olden times. That one of her just being like a vampire was so great with the blood dripping. I was like, oh, that's Halloween right there for me. Thank you. That was
great. She gets her vengeance too. You're like, she's going to like.
She does.
Different. Oh, so and she's great. Like, nope, I'm going after this guy.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll take care of you. Like. I will do way worse.
I liked it when she was like,
could have ever done.
I spared you. And because I spared you, this is what happened to me.
Exactly.
So now
he ends it with like, will she go on and haunt the roads for travelers, or will she become an aristocrat, you know, like a la, you know, Dracula, you know?
Like, so there's like the two
different
style.
The two different roads you can go down.
Yeah. When I first started reading this, I was, Trav, have you seen Trick or Treat? I hope.
I have not. Do I need to watch it this October?
Oh my gosh, please, please, please. You will absolutely love it. But it's done in like these vignettes and they're all kind of sort of connected, but not. And I think that's why at the beginning of this, I just assumed, because that is like ultimate autumnal, like fall Trick or Treat, Halloween.
There's a bunch of them, right?
Huh? So
there's several of them now, right?
There's just the one. I think they're going to do a sequel, but they also have comics of Trick or Treat as well. And they're fantastic. That's why I was kind of like I felt like I needed initially like a Game of Thrones, like map of characters, because I thought like I had to pay attention to who these people were. And then I was like, as we went on, I was like, okay, they're actually not connected. I really liked that because it does make them feel more, I'd say, like acoustic-y. Like, you know what I mean? You don't have to sit there and remember from three stories back about this person or whatever. So I really did like that.
I can't remember what publisher has been putting out, but someone's been putting out some of those EC anthologies, those horror anthologies again, like those creepy comics have been coming out again. Like,
not like a Tales
new version. Type and thing. I think this also lends itself. And there is the, you know, the duck and cat who are kind of narrators throughout. That take the place of Vampirella or take the place of the Crypt Keeper, that take the place of that narrator that you get, right? Or, you know, and so to me, that's the other piece of it, is it feels like there's this Elvira. Kind of Elvira. That's what I mean. Like there's this wink and nod of like, I'll be back, right? Like, and I just love that it was like a raccoon or a duck.
Because they were in Bowling for Corpses. I was like, oh my gosh. If they're just doing this the whole time, that's hysterical. It's so cute.
Yeah.
I would like to do a podcast with like common domain, old, creepy stories and get people that I know who are good, like auto reading, and create effects around it. And then I'll do all this work just so I can be the Creep Keeper character in that.
You
want to
be like the Svengoolie. You want to be.
Yeah.
No one is stopping you, Travis. No one is stopping.
Whatever assistance you Friends. Need, I'm here for it. Like this is truly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that lack of friends does, but if you pay,
I guess I just use AI.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
It lacks the texture.
So I think we've all kind of shared. I mean, Andrea, I asked you about the first story, but what one was your favorite out of it? What was the one that you enjoyed the most?
The one I kept thinking about was the vampire one, the one about the lady at the end. Ooh. That was Una. Yes. I thought that one really stuck with me. But like the kind of haunted house one also was really, really great, or whatever we were talking about earlier with that one.
Yeah. The guy who's telling the story. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy telling the story. But those were I would say the vampire one definitely stuck with me the most. So, really enjoyed that. Plus it's just, you know, I love when bitches get their things done. You know what I mean? Like,
I love ladies getting their revenge, right?
That's very satisfying.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Love Twilight,
and the art on that one I thought was great. Like, I loved her, like, how she looked and everything.
You're gonna love Bella.
Oh my god,
worst character.
Just a lot of like,
that's the movie. The entire movie is her going.
The entire movie. I would do for my kids on command a Kristen Stewart impression all the time, even though I'd never seen the movie. This was just like my assumption of what she was like in the movie. And they're like, you nailed it, Miss C. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no, that's the entire movie is her looking kind of disgusted. She has tummy problems the entire movie.
Yeah, like weird, just really bad. I love Kristen Stewart. Like, currently now I'm just like big fan. She's so like awesome.
She has IBS the whole
time. To be fair, she has to learn how to drink blood. Spoiler alert. It's it's tough on your tummy.
But she doesn't turn into a vampire in the first movie. Takes a while.
They bone and she breaks the bed or whatever.
Yes,
right?
Super vampire scene.
Bone powers.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's super vampires are strong. They can climb trees, spider monkey. So
Twilight podcast, guys.
Yeah. Let's put a bow in this episode.
Let's put some festive cobwebs around it.
Yeah. Let's put some festive cobwebs around it. Mignola is a wonderful artist, does a great job. Travis, you said it early on. It's like what he doesn't show you, or the lack of lines that make his, and the amount of black in it, make everything he does so good. He's so great. I would tell you this is one of those things where you're like, yeah, if I just need a little spooky taste, this is something to break out. That sort of short story fall kind of thing. I would tell you it's like that October, November read, right? Like, it's the autumn read. And maybe it's September in other places that aren't Arizona, but it's not fall here yet. It was 100 degrees yesterday. I really enjoyed it. I came away from this book going, okay, I want him to do another one of these. Give me another Tales from the Unknown Lands. I'm in. Have fun with this. You know,
that's where I'm at, but I'm gonna be a little bit more specific. And I've thought about this, and this is after I was reading the book, and I was like, oh, you know, it sounds like he has more stories to tell, and he hopes to tell them. I want to hear those stories, but very specifically, I want to hear them over the next 2 years, meaning next October 1st, I want to be able to sit down and read the next volume of this and the following year. However, I don't want any gaps, and I don't want it to go past 3 years. I want this to be the start of like a 3-year tradition in Halloween. I don't need this to go on forever, but just the next 3 years. Just keep me in the zone for a little bit. No gaps. Next 3 years, something to look forward to. I need this, guys. I need this in my life right now.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why you put 3 years on it? Is there a reason why you put 3 years? Like the next 3 years?
No. Oh, actually, no. Now I'm thinking about it. I could have a reason to for it.
It just seems like a good number.
I just need a fable.
A three act type situation.
Yeah, I just need something to be. I just need something to carry me through. Okay. Yeah. So, final thoughts.
Coincidence.
Andrea on Bowling with Corpses.
I loved it. I thought it was just the coziest read, and it was so cute and charming and funny. And it really had everything I love about these stories. I love short stories. You can really it's all the best parts, the tastiest parts, like all just tied up in a little nugget. And I just, it was great. And so this is a cool introduction to, you were saying Mignola. Is it Mignola?
I think it's Mignola. I don't think it's
I don't think it's like the.
I think I was like saying Magnolia.
I don't think it's Magnolia. Like the flower. I think it's just Magnolia.
Magnolia. Okay. This is a great intro to him. And then whoever the artist was, like, really fantastic. So
no, he's the artist. The colorist is Dave Stewart.
Oh, the colorist. I mean,
yeah. Who is always with him. And he's the one of the best colorists ever. So
that's it's fantastic. So this would definitely be like me wanting to snag more of his stuff, but it was so charming. I loved it. It was great.
All right. That wraps up this spooky book episode. Travis and I think there's one more spooky book in the tank, but we don't know what it was. I'm calling an audible. I said, hey, let's do this. What? And then it wasn't good.
It's early. I don't think we need to have it. I think it's the beginning of October. I think we let October reveal to us what the spooky book is.
Yeah. I tried to find one. It wasn't good. So it's no dice. So Andrew, maybe you'll be back for a third spooky book. I don't know.
You got any recommendations for a spooky book you want to read?
Any spooky book you're into right now? Anything you're I looked at this. I wanted to read that.
Not off the top of my head. I mean, I was looking at a few, but one of them was You'll Do Bad Things was one of the ones that I had seen. So, I'll let you guys know. Got something in the hopper. And if it doesn't suck.
Yeah. All right, folks. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy your spooky season. Find a spooky book. If you've got a spooky rec, comment on the old Spotify.
Yes, please.
We did get a comment, Travis, that I'm going to read out that I should have read out the last episode, but I'm going to read it out. Here we go. We had we did Godzilla, versus the Great Gatsby, Godzilla Monsterpiece Theater, and someone, Brent Jackson commented on our Spotify. Dang, I'm a Godzilla fanatic, and I got mentioned on the episode. Anyway, great episode. Sold me on Godzilla fighting giant universal monsters. And then he goes ahead and says, hey, you should check out this one. Godzilla Half Century War by James Stokoe. I love James Stokoe. He is just a fantastic artist. He did the Aliens book we read, Travis.
Yeah.
The one we read. Piece.
Yeah.
He did that one. So very, very good. So,
Orbit, right? Was it Aliens Orbit?
Yeah, Dead Orbit.
Dead Orbit.
So folks, thanks for tuning in. You can find us over at comicexposure.com. You can find all the episodes. You can write us a comment or rate or review the show on whatever podcast app you use. If you comment to us on Spotify, we will probably shout you out on the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Andrea, thank you for being with us again for another spooky book.
It's a true pleasure every time. Thank you, guys.
And we'll see y'all next trade.